baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook, you are listening to the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the Devious and Dastardly Goes, RA's co-host. It is Thursday, August 29th, and Goes, what an interesting week in the sport of mixed martial arts.
Oh man, what's almost more interesting is what's been happening outside of the cage. Not what's been happening inside the cage.
Right, but it's not a good interesting, right? It's a bad interesting.
It's a bad look for our sport.
Yeah, so we are going to talk about a variety of topics, and we'll start off with BJ Penn and some more trouble that he's gotten into in his home state of Hawaii. Also, they put a bow on Season 3 of Dana White Contender Series, and we'll touch on that, and also an interesting quote that came out of UFC President Dana White's mouth when asked about another one of his fighters that seemingly gets in trouble a lot recently, Conor McGregor. It's a touchy subject that hasn't gotten touched on very much, but Dana White did go there, and he shed some of his insight. Also, we got some big-name fighters that have been booked, and some of the matchups make sense. Some of the matchups are mouth-watering, but one of them is highly questionable, so we'll touch on that. Also, we'll preview the big fights that are taking place in China this weekend. Got a world title fight. Jessica Andrade, the UFC strawweight champion, she defends her title against Weili Zhang. Quality co-main event. We'll talk about that as well. And we have a few other news nuggets to discuss. So sit back and relax. It's time for some Junkie Radio. So it goes, yesterday a couple videos surfaced on TMZ Sports, and I'm going to explain it, but it's not going to make sense, but it'll make sense after I explain it. So the first video that surfaced showed BJ Penn mounted on a gentleman, and he's in a street altercation again. This is different from the bouncer incident a few months ago. So this is a different individual. He's mounted on top of him, and he hits him like three times. Think about somebody who's got taking somebody's back, and he's ground impounding. Mm-hmm. Then after that, a bunch of bodies surround, and you can't really see what else really comes of that. You do see a couple females kind of get involved, especially one. First, it's the variety of stop it, you know, whatever. But then one of them gets in a couple of those shoot box kicks, you know what I mean? And I think they're directed to BJ Penn. Can't tell because the bodies were...
I think they were. Yeah. She was aiming kind of high, and he was on top.
Correct. Yeah. So then the video ends, and that's that. And, of course, we're caught in the problem where we don't know what happened. I mean, it could very well be that somebody attacked him, or it could very well be that he's just acting a fool. We don't know. So that video's done, and then... See, I don't even know if it's minutes later or hours later, but we were actually here at the Mandalay Bay talking, and then... One of the waitresses tells me, wow, BJ Penn got knocked out. And I was like, no, he's the guy on top. He's the one that was slugging the other gentleman. But it cuts off. So it wasn't BJ. I come back in the studio and you guys are saying, man, can you believe BJ Penn got knocked? What? So another video came out. We updated our story. And now that video that came out is actually the prelude to what I just explained. Mm-hmm. And so there you see the two gentlemen, same gentleman, standing up. And again, this is a quick video. The BJ's playing the role of Matador, it appears, because he's just basically fending off like takedowns, kind of just basically swings the guy to the ground. The guy comes up and goes for a takedown and, you know, locks in a single. And BJ, using the fabulous balance he's always had in his career, in flip-flops, by the way, stops the takedown from happening, then encourages the man to take some swipes at him. because basically he's just not impressed with his power, his punching power. And the man throws a 1-2. It's, to me, it looks like a right hand slap one and the other. So it's a two-piece combo. But the left hand does appear to be a clenched fist. Doesn't look like anything as powerful as how beefy he is. You know what I mean? But it's right on the kisser. And BJ Penn goes down. Now, luckily for BJ Penn, he kind of folded, you know, like in three pieces. He didn't just all of a sudden fall straight back a la the way a Ric Flair when, you know, in pro wrestling when he all of a sudden face plants. He kind of folded and it looked like maybe even brushed up on one of the guy's legs that was, you know, either security or part of the Penn crew or who knows. So they were able to kind of like pick him up. And the video cuts off there. Now, of course, if you look at the YouTube comments, a lot of people are saying, BJ Penn just popped right up. And others are saying, no, they were picking him up. And frankly, I don't know, and I didn't slow it down enough to really, really look at it, you know. Regardless, what happens there is apparently that's where BJ Penn then goes and has the...
like a second altercation.
Yeah, the second altercation, which is the first thing I explained here on this episode.
Mm-hmm. It's like the Star Wars of street fights for us. It's in reverse order.
Yes.
But he takes the shot, and you're right. Like, I think it could have been worse. I don't know if he was completely out. Maybe when he hit the ground, he woke back up. But if you look at his foot, the way it came down, that wasn't normal. And his head looked like it might have bumped pretty hard. Mm-hmm. So whatever that punch was, I think it did kind of put him out for a second. Mm-hmm. I think him hitting the ground woke him back up, and then he came back up and did all the rest of that stuff. But I'm one of those guys that likes to hear all the details of the story before I really get on someone for doing something. But in BJ Penn's case, I think we can kind of take it to him without even knowing that, because really, what have we said about him, about Conor McGregor, about John Jones? It's not so much like what drove you to act the way you did. It's the situations that you're putting yourself in and the people that are around you. Now, after he got, you're right, he was kind of like inviting shots, right? Telling the guy to hit him. And at that point, in BJ Penn's life, he should have somebody with him at all times. Friends. Somebody. Somebody should have said, BJ, this is not a good idea. You're doing it again. Something like some kind of key word that makes him go, yeah, you're right. I need to get out of here. But he was kind of inviting it. And then, boom, he gets hit with the shot. And then all the other stuff ensues. Again, what are you doing out if you have this problem that you can't get along with people? It's not like these incidents have been happening years apart. I mean, they're months apart. What is going on? He's begging Dana White for one last shot. Dana White finally agrees, but tells him this is going to kind of be your retirement match. It has to be. And he agreed. But what are you doing? What are you doing? And what are your friends, your family? What are they doing? What are they doing to keep you safe? What is going on?
Well, here's the thing. Obviously, it's daytime, right?
In that video?
Yeah.
I couldn't really tell.
It looked to me like it was daytime.
Was it?
Well, maybe it's a well-lit area. So it's called the Lava Shack Bar. And it's on the Big Island of Hawaii. It's in a location called Pahoa. Maybe that's a section of the Big Island. And everybody's dressed so casual. So maybe that's what I was thinking, that it appeared that way. But if this is nighttime and he's going to a bar, mistake. If this is daytime and he's going to a bar to grab lunch, maybe it's just his favorite spot where he has his favorite burger. I wouldn't say that's a mistake. What I would say, though, is like you said, once trouble happened, maybe you, whoever you're with, you're right. You have to surround yourself with people that can intercede and say, hey, look, we're just going to go in another direction, and we don't want any problems at all. I mean, BJ Penn doesn't really have to prove himself that he can beat that guy up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the magnificent Morocco, Stephen Morocco from our website, did catch up with a representative from BJ Penn's camp. You and I have met him. I've spoken to him many times. His name's Gary Levette. He's an attorney in Hawaii, and he's helped the Penn family for many years through all their business transactions. But I've met him through booking BJ Penn, basically. He says, this is the quote, I spoke to BJ, and BJ is like, no, I did nothing. And so what BJ Penn is saying is that he was not the instigator to this fight and that there's more videos out there, but that basically BJ Penn was the one that was attacked, and so that put BJ in a defense mode. Mm-hmm. Now, like, he got cold cocked. Now, again, does that mean you continue the fight? Man, I don't know, because there's that fight or flight moment. And without knowing all the facts, like, did he have a buzz going on? Have these guys had beef stemming from somebody dated somebody's girl? Which I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff at the wall. You don't know. You don't know what's been built up. Now, I guess in that article, BJ Penn did say they kind of know each other, but they've been having some problems, mm-hmm. you know, along the way.
Beefing.
So maybe that's a little bit more of the history of it all. Mm-hmm. But there just appears to be a point where when they are squaring off, you're right, it's almost like somebody could just put their arm around BJ and pull him away. You know what I mean? If he's not doing it himself, just pull him away, because he just can't be there. If somebody cold cocked him, I guess that sucks. You do like everybody else, decide whether you want to press charges or not. You know, and if you do, then you summon the police. And if you don't, hey, man, this is how we get down in Hawaii. Then you walk away. I guess someone cold cocked you. You know, I don't know what to tell you. But he has kids. He has other legal problems. And this just is happening too frequently.
Everybody has their credit score. Okay, almost like a human Yelp. If this same article was posted about Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, I think all of us would go, well, that doesn't make sense. Stephen's never really been in issues like this. He's always really nice and kind to people. Let's wait until things come out, and then we'll figure out what the hell's going on here. But when it's BJ Penn and you look at that credit score, it kind of falls in line with all the things that have been happening. That's why I think people are just jumping all over it. One of the things that people are bringing up is, A, should Dana White let him take the second fight or this last fight?
Against Nick Lentz.
Yeah, and B, should they just cut him altogether? Like, what is this doing for this guy's legacy?
I think knowing Dana White, he's going to play the card of letting all the facts play out. Because remember, Dana White picks up the phone. He talks to these guys. He'll get the true story, and Dana will usually back up his guys. He's pretty loyal in that regard, because he gives them the benefit of the doubt of, you know, how things go down in the street, like that type of thing, that type of mentality, which doesn't go over well with mainstream media. It doesn't go over well usually with hardcore media, or actually, you know, sometimes some of us will say, yeah, we know, you know, because we've been in the sport, but you know. I think that's what he'll say. And if he's backing BJ, guess what? BJ's Penn's fighting. I think that's what it's going to boil down to. Oh. Now, Dave Doyle wrote from our website, senior editor, wrote a strong opinion piece, and he's saying, that's it. Cut him. You know, enough is enough. I still feel like I understand Dave's point, but I still feel like I need to know a little bit more of the story. Apparently, the cops in Hawaii did come out. But by the time they were there, he said all parties had gone in different directions and no charges were pressed. And I think that they're a little bit similar to how Dana White thinks. Just kind of like, man, people get into trouble, these types of problems, but they go on about their business. You know what I mean? I think there's probably more conservative cities in the United States where no, we're going to go and we're going to knock on some doors and we're going to get some statements and take down some notes and then figure out if we have a, you know, something that we can pursue. You know what I mean? But I think over there, I think this just maybe gets brushed under the rug.
I think the BJ Penn story is not going to end well. If you look at just the
now
trajectory
they're comparing
of everything.
Him to Mayhem Miller.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great comparison. Yeah. Like, these type of things started for Mayhem one by one, and they started getting worse and worse and worse. And it's just kind of, it's reminding me a lot of that. I don't think this is going to end well, and I think the UFC needs to step in and do something about this. Because when you go back and you look and say, well, what could have people done? This would probably be that moment where I think somebody, maybe Dana needs to sit down and say, look, I'm not going to cut you, but you need to retire or you need to stop. You know, there's got to be some kind of penalty.
How do you think it ends?
For BJ? Yeah. Overall in life?
Well, you said it doesn't end well. Did you mean career or life?
Life. Because, I mean, you can only piss off so many people before one guy, instead of trying to square up with you, he shows up with a gun or a knife or something, right? And
or maybe you just wind up behind bars.
Yeah, behind bars.
Wouldn't that be a damn shame? Because apparently his life is, his family's wealthy. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of fame and popularity.
I couldn't do any of these things.
He's got his family, and you would think that he's got, if he doesn't have his own money, again, that family seems to be very united. You know, I think the older brother was a manager. The other brother was a training partner. And, you know, one thing I've noticed is the brothers haven't been consistently by him like they were in the early days. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that in some of his fights?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got his corner team, but I haven't noticed the presence of his brothers.
And they would always release some kind of statement right after a fight or something. Like, they just always seem to be around, and you don't really hear too much about them now. But, like, the interactions I've had with BJ Penn, and you as well, he's been in the studio before, and that was one of the greatest moments for the show. I thought when he sat here, he was so nice. He was so kind. He was nice to all the fans and everything. I think he was on a book tour or something, right? And even the day after, he went to L.A., and a lot of our fans saw him there and brought up the interview. And they said that he said really nice things, and that he even took a deep breath and paused and said, man, that meant a lot to me. That was a great show. He's been cool. I really think these are the type of things that have come with maybe a little fame, some drinking, right? There's always some kind of like a strip bar or just a regular bar involved. Maybe just repetitive blows to the head, but he's definitely different now.
I would side with, yes, the symptoms of CTE are you know, perking up.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are fueled by alcohol, of course, there's rage and anger. But he didn't strike me as the type that would see. I mean, this is without really knowing. I'm not like homies with him or anything like that. But you're right. He's so soft-spoken, and his demeanor was always that of a chill dude. I do think back to like 2004, and I think there was an incident where he did hit a cop. That was way years before he took a lot of the damage. So maybe that was. So what did we say? That was punk BJ Penn, and now this is maybe CTE. BJ Penn, you know, I don't know. And then it starts to sound like, well, now you're making excuses. You know, it's not really him. No matter what, we're all adults and we have to be responsible for our actions. But people really need to look out for this guy. And hopefully by the next time we do this show, which will be on Monday, there are more details. If he did get cold cocked, I mean, I bet you a lot of people's opinions will change.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, I still think as of this moment, he will continue to fight.
You think so?
Well, at least that one fight.
But Nick Lentz fight.
Because I don't think there's anything where Dana White can point to and go, well, you know, there's been no charges. Stuff goes down in Hawaii.
Well, how about the fact that he got KO'd, though? Like, if that were in training.
Good question.
And he said, especially at his age and what's happened in his career and the reasoning why Dana White wants him to retire, just the simple fact that he was KO'd, whether it was in the gym or wherever, I think that might be enough for Dana to go, all right, maybe I'll let you fight, but you need to rest again.
Well, remember,
and start over.
Remember they said they've had long conversations, and either way, BJ presented some stuff to him, and then Dana White said, I understood, and that's why I gave in and gave him the bout or whatever. But maybe along the way, the same way he said, but remember, this is your last fight, maybe Dana also said, listen, part of this deal is you got to stay out of trouble, or you got to do this, you got to do that. Maybe he gave him some criteria, and maybe BJ Penn just broke that, you know, or promises or whatever.
Yeah.
Who knows? All right. So moving on to another superstar from the UFC, Conor McGregor, of course, hasn't fought in over, well, no, I guess it's been under a year, but that one fight is the only fight in the last 3 years. And MMA, we throw out the Mayweather fight, boxing match. But he is somehow always in the news. And so Dana White Contender Series, Dana White usually comes by, you know, backstage afterwards and talks to the media. But one interesting question was raised by John Morgan, and that was the New York Times article that talked about the allegations brought forth towards Conor McGregor in his native country of Ireland about an alleged sexual assault. Dana had an interesting quote. Now, it was one that, of course, he got ridiculed because he basically says, I know nothing, but then kind of gives out one interesting fact, you know what I mean, that would squash everything if true. And here's the quote. He says, Connor and I talk at least a couple times a month, and I think he needed to do that. Excuse me, that's the quote about the interview with ESPN. I apologize. Well, I'll just finish that one because this was just his thoughts on that interview. He says, I didn't tell him to do that. He did that on his own. Good for him. I think you and I discussed this,
yeah.
By the way, and I don't you were of that. The opinion that the UFC set that up.
I'm of the opinion that the topic was brought up and both parties agreed this needs to happen.
Yeah. So that's what he meant by UFC. So here we go. This is what he said about the question that John Morgan presented. He says, I know zero about that. So at that point, you think you just shrug his shoulders and say, next question, right? Because he knows zero about it. But then he says this. He says, to be honest with you, the back and forth that I've had with him about this is that it's not him. It's that it's somebody else. And then he says, you know? So I don't know. However, whether he said he didn't know zero or whether he showed some confusion to the end, he did mention that him and Conor McGregor talked and that Conor McGregor has told him it's someone else. Mm-hmm. So if it's someone else, that's great for Conor. Either way, apparently a young lady was sexually assaulted, so that's sad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm sure the courts will deal with that. Remember, in Ireland, things are very, very private over there when it comes to these types of cases. But that will be one less hurdle, I guess, for Conor to climb or overcome if and when his comeback does happen.
You know, I kind of get, like, if Dana just doesn't want to talk about it, I understand that. But to say he knows nothing about it is kind of silly. Like, I'm thinking of, like, pro football, right? You think of Jerry Jones. Do you think there is anything that can happen between Dak Prescott or Ezekiel Elliott and Jerry Jones doesn't know within 5 or 10 minutes of that happening? Like, that... they represent so much money for that organization.
Right.
He's got to know these things, right? And so when you look at Dana White, Conor McGregor represents so much money for that organization that how would you not know anything? Yeah. If you don't know, then you're crazy for not asking questions because you got to ask questions for this very reason. Mm-hmm. When reporters ask you questions about something that's important, you have to have those answers.
He would have been better off to just say, I've spoken to Conor, and he says it wasn't him. And that's it. Mm-hmm. But when there's all that other confusion, it looks like you're either hiding something or maybe Conor had an involvement, but not the direct involvement of the alleged assault. Who knows, you know? And so, yeah, I think he could have handled that slightly better. But again, if in fact it wasn't Conor, then that'll be big for Conor because now we're only waiting on an injury. It seems like everything else he's dealt with, the old man that he slugged, the phone guy in Miami. We know Brooklyn's way back in the rearview mirror. So
remember those days?
Yeah, really.
But this is what I go back and forth on in my head. And I want to give Dana White some credit in this regard. You don't get the commissioner of the NFL or the NBA for long periods of time, especially on a weekly basis like you have in Contender Series. So in a way, I applaud Dana that he actually goes in front of the media and takes questions on these things because you don't have that access in other sports to people like that. So I applaud him in that regard. It's just there's certain things that you have to have answers for, something. You either say you don't want to comment on it, which I think you have every right to do, but you can't just...
Yeah, it's an ongoing case. Yeah. I can't comment on that.
Something like
but that. But when he did say what he said, if he just would have been a little bit more clear and succinct... and just said, I've spoken with Conor. He says it wasn't him. That is all I can tell you. And yeah, there you go.
You would never want that to go away. You
really,
don't want that
he's access. Really media savvy at times, but then there are other times that you can just tell there's a cover-up. There's what I know and what I should tell them. Then you know what? You either need just to have your firm defense at that particular time, your no-comment defense, or whatever statement you have, and mm-hmm. things would go a lot smoother.
That's
because
the battle,
people are though. Just waiting to chop up his words and run with it. You know what I mean?
What do you prefer? Would you rather have a Dana White that you get to talk to frequently but has these little issues here and there? Or
I like
would
it
you
the
rather
way
not
is.
Have the access?
No, I like it the way it is.
Yeah?
Yeah. You?
I kind of do, too.
Here's some matchups that have been announced, and one's very interesting. Carlos Condit versus Mickey Gall. I mean, we're talking about a former interim welterweight champion who only fought big, big names. Now, Mickey Gall quietly has like a 5-1 or 5-2 record or something like that. But still, I just never thought I'd see those two matched up. Diego, I get, because Diego kind of had a little bit of a really, really bad slide for quite a while. You know what I mean? But Carlos Condit against Mickey Gall. I never would have expected to see that. That said, I love watching Carlos Condit fight, so I'm down with it.
I don't really understand this matchup. We were at Contender Series the other day, and one guy didn't get in. I forget, was it Hill? Was that his last name?
His name was Impa?
The guy that fought him.
Kasanganai.
He didn't get in because of his lack of experience, because he didn't want him to get wrecked, is kind of what Dana said, right? So you have a guy like Mickey Gall who talks the talk. He backs it up, but he hasn't really had like that high-level opponent. Now, he got Diego Sanchez, and that did not go his way.
Right.
He was pretty much dominated by Diego. So he bounces back and gets a win. But Carlos Condit, like you said, that's no joke, man. This dude's a stud. All right? Former champion, interim champion, like, to me, this is that exact situation that it seemed like he was trying to avoid with another guy. Because Mickey Gall seems like a tough fighter that can get better. But so it kind of contradicts a little bit. Carlos Condit, man, that guy's no joke. I don't know that this is a good fight for Mickey Gall.
Tyson Nam is going to step in. I haven't heard that name in a while, but he's going to step in and fight Sergio Pettis at the Mexico City card. So that was pretty cool to read. Luis Pena versus Matt Frivola. They're going to collide at UFC on ESPN plus 19. There's a report that Anthony Johnson's going to come back in March of 2020 as a UFC heavyweight. Also in bare knuckle, bare knuckle fighting championship 8 has two former UFC heavyweight well-known fighters, Bigfoot Silva, Antonio Bigfoot Silva, against Gabriel Napao Gonzaga. So bravo to bare knuckle fighting championship, just always finding these key names that are willing to throw down that still have a little bit of name value. But yet, like, I mean, I think of Gonzaga more of as a jiu-jitsu guy. But yeah. I always remember some of the KOs that he had. You know what I mean? So to me, it sounds like fun.
It sounds like fun. You're right. Like, I don't really remember Gonzaga as being that dude that you want to bring over to bare knuckle. But the thing is, when you're just big, when you're heavyweights, and you have no padding on your gloves, like, there's no way that can't last that long. When you think of Bigfoot, you think of his matchup with Mark Hunt, and you go, wow, can you imagine if that was in bare knuckle? Like, he's had a couple of those. So that side of it makes sense. But, hey, two heavyweights like that, you put them in front of each other, no padding on their hands, it'll be fun.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people are thinking, bro, you just mentioned CT a little while ago. What about, you know, some of the knockouts these guys have taken? Yeah, I hear you. Dude. But the matchup is made. They're fighting. These guys are going to go out and they're going to fight. It's our job to talk about it. Henry Cejudo is calling out. He's really putting the pressure on Dominic Cruz. Dominic Cruz says he's going to be back in 2020. Of course, Henry Cejudo talks about everyone but the two main guys at 135 pounds, which is Peter Yan and Aljamain Sterling, who I believe are going to wind up fighting each other, because Henry Cejudo's got other business, and that's the flyweight division. And apparently Joseph Benavidez is going to get that shot. But did you see the call out of Dominic Cruz?
Yeah.
Wow. I thought these guys were all kind of homies down in Arizona. They all kind of wrestled, you know, at the same time. And Henry Cejudo, man, he's getting venomous in his call outs.
I brushed it aside because my issue with Henry Cejudo is I love him as a fighter. And his antics can be pretty funny at times. They can be cringeworthy, but that kind of makes it funny as well. But he's so over the top now that I can't take anything seriously. So when he goes after Dominic Cruz like that, I don't even know if he believes what he says or what's going on. Like, he's now become a character. And it's tough for me to take anything serious, like, especially after Dana White has been adamant about Joseph Benavidez. It's like, what is the point of all this? Well, what is going on? Like, I kind of just tune out now.
All right. Fair enough. And the biggest matchup, and this is the one that came with a lot of controversy, is Darren Till and Kelvin Gastelum are booked. They're fighting in New York, UFC 244. If you think about it, you're like when I read about it, I was like, okay, cool, count me in. But I guess many people are having a problem with the fact that Dana White had said he feels like maybe they brought along Darren Till a little too quick, especially after these two back-to-back losses that he's taken. And so many are pointing and saying, then what are you doing as he's moving up to middleweight and you're throwing him against one of the killers that are out there? Remember, about a year ago, Gastelum was supposed to fight Whitaker for the title. Whitaker had a, what was it, a hernia problem or something like that? Had to be hospitalized or was it I think that's what it was, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. And so then he has to fight Izzy Adesanya, and they have a great fight for the interim bout. So we know, and of course he's beating Jacare. We know he's a stud out there. So then the question is, why are you fighting that dude? You know what I mean? Like, start off with somebody ranked a little bit lower at middleweight and then figure it out. Nobody has a problem with him moving up to middleweight because he's a big welterweight who's had some terrible weight cuts. We want to look out for him on his health side that way. But then now all of a sudden we're thinking about some of the marbles upstairs.
I mean, I think if you look at Kelvin Gastelum, he's one of those guys where he's a big name and he's made it up to the top. But really, I think we've all felt like he should be a welterweight. You know, he's just kind of impressed us at middleweight. But what I didn't like, man, it sounds like I hate Dana White. I really don't. But what I didn't like was his response to that. And it was just like his answer was kind of like, well, yeah, but that's what that's what Darren wanted.
Right.
But yeah, you're the boss. Like, every fighter wants something. If you give every fighter what they want, you're going to have all kinds of ridiculous things. It's your job to be the guy that says, yeah, but I'm the boss, and this is what we want. This is what we talked about. Because right. Then it doesn't make them look too good, you know, when things like this happen. Because you're right. At the top, like that, the way Dana White is, people are going to bring up other things, and you're going to throw him in his face, and it's just not going to make sense. So I would have thought, like, maybe a good response is, look, kid, I know that's what you want, but fight this guy first, and if you can get a win here, then we'll give you that guy. As far as the challenge of Kelvin Gastelum, like, I get it. He's done some pretty good things, but he is one of the smaller guys, so I'm kind of okay with it. It just contradicts what they said before.
Mm-hmm. All right. A couple other little news nuggets that are out there was the two-year anniversary of the Mayweather and McGregor fight. What were your thoughts on that? I mean, that was pretty epic for combat sports. It was here in Las Vegas, and we've known McGregor for a long time, and of course we've followed Mayweather for a long time, but do you remember the thoughts you had and everything that went down?
I felt dirty.
Did you?
Yeah. I've had very few stances where I could say, no way is this going to happen, and as those talks were going on, I really said this has zero chance of happening. You have not one, not two, but three of the strongest personalities in combat sports, in Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather, and Dana White. Mm-hmm. I said, there's no way you can get those three people to even be in the same room for too long without arguing about something. There's no way this fight's going to happen. Finally, it happens. And maybe it was the media coverage of it. What I think the non-MMA fans did was they took this fight as this is the best boxer in boxing versus the best MMA has to offer. And Conor McGregor is a great fighter.
At his weight class.
Yeah. At his, he's a great fighter. But even if you go to his weight class, okay, at the time, which was 155, okay, he wasn't the best wrestler. He wasn't the best grappler. And he arguably probably wasn't the best striker. He was just a good fighter, but he represented like mixed martial arts as if he were the best guy that we had to offer. And I didn't like that because it kind of made it look like boxing punked us. And I just wasn't down with it. I mean,
even though he won the first four rounds.
Yeah. Once it went down, I was entertained. But all the things that came after that, you know, you look at Conor McGregor now, we're not seeing him fight in mixed martial arts. He's harder to deal with because he's got a lot of money. He doesn't have to take fights, really, if he doesn't want to. It just created something that I thought was going to come back and bite the UFC in the ass, and I think it might have.
All right. CB Dolloway has accepted a two-year USADA suspension for multiple banned substances. Disappointing to read that, but he stands by his innocence. Apparently, he got some stem cell treatment in Mexico. for that injury that is sustained. Remember the elevator incident in Cleveland about 3 years ago? Yeah. He's never fully recovered from that. But I guess maybe by accepting it, I guess he's done fighting it. But he did say that he doesn't feel like this was right. Either way, I think CB Dolloway has seen his best years in the octagon. So I just want him to be able to get healthy and go on being a father, a husband, living life. You know what I mean?
We have mutual friends that were in that elevator that day. And one of them said something that always stuck with me. And they said that they kind of saw, like, almost because there's so much testosterone and you know, fighters in that elevator, that nobody really wanted to show that they were scared or hurt. And he said that he did see CB Dolloway kind of have a face like he was kind of hurt, but then noticed that nobody else was really saying much. So it looked like maybe he was trying to hide it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, that's some scary thing. Have you ever been in, I mean, you've been on a roller coaster.
It felt,
you know,
three
that
floors
like.
And it seemed like, you guys could survive that. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I've heard some of the elevators have spring or they have the mechanisms to slow down. But yeah, we were told like, no, it was just a free fall.
Yeah. And you're not expecting it. You know, that's the worst part. Like, just picture walking. You're just walking on the street and then all of a sudden you're falling. That's weird.
Yeah, I hear you. James Vick is moving up to welterweight. Corey Anderson and Jan Blachowicz are both calling out John Jones. It's getting interesting there at 205. And, you know, I think we're hoping to see John Jones fight sometime before the end of 2019. So, and I'm happy for Vick, by the way. I think he needed to go up. Dustin Poirier has finished his camp for UFC 242 versus Khabib Nurmagomedov. You can check out the Dustin Diaries on MMAJunkie.com. And again, the last season of the Dana White Contender Series is over, and it was awesome. I'm going to miss it. Tuesday nights just won't be the same, because it was pretty cool to walk into like a little proper arena and just check out some fights and see who the newest additions. It was a reality show all tied in, you know, to one. And it kind of really ticked a lot of the boxes of what I like as an MMA fan.
Yeah, I'm going to miss it for sure. It was very cool. I loved it. But I feel like what we've seen from Dana White's Contender Series up until this season was something completely different. And now this is a new beast, but it's still fun.
And shout out to Laura Sanko for still not tripping on those stairs. I'm telling you, man. I'm like, she even jokes around and says, one day I'm going to fall. She says she has her token line already, you know, ready.
Uh-huh.
Probably something along the lines of, did you feel that tremor? Oh, you know, who knows what it's going to be, but she wears like the tightest skirts or dresses, and heels. She has these real big heels and these vertical steps that she needs to get in and out of. I guess it's a total of 5 up and 5 down. I'm sure there's maybe some other rehearsals. Man, that young lady hustles, because I see her huddled over by the commission. She has to then come over and then give the accurate wording to how the fight ended, you know, because she's Bruce Buffer. And then you see her go down the steps, run to the back room, greet the winner. The winner comes over. I saw one of those guys wipe his forehead full of sweat and then shake her hand. And then she politely shakes it back and then puts her arm on his shoulder, you know. And then sometimes they'll kind of like coddle her waist a little bit. And they're excited. Yeah, I'm not making fun of any of that sexually or nothing like that. But you can just tell that can't be easy, you know, for her, you know. I mean, she's decked out, she's looking beautiful, you know what I mean? So then she's got to shake that off and basically just prepare for the next bout. It's this big song and dance, man, where she's just running around speaking to Dana White afterwards, getting it all together. Shout out to Laura Sanko, she did a great job.
Yeah, amazing job.
It's fun seeing her do all that. All right, listen, China, it's this weekend, we got to talk about it. We'll start off with the main event. Weili Zhang is challenging Jessica Andrade. So we got a Chinese fighter against a Brazilian champion. This is for the UFC strawweight title. And by the way, folks, just so you know, 6 a.m. Eastern for the main card, 3 a.m. Pacific again for the main card. And that's Saturday morning. So really, really early Saturday morning, 6 Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific, that's the start of the main card. And again, the main event, Weili Zhang versus Jessica Andrade. Think about how huge it would be if Weili Zhang were to win that title, how big it would be for China. And, of course, Brazil, like Dana White always says, loves them some champions. So if she can get that title defense, that would be huge for Jessica Andrade. And then she's already even teasing maybe Valentina Shevchenko for her to be a champ.
You know, everybody, I'm getting wrapped up in everybody saying Weili Zhang has a great shot at doing this. But Jessica Andrade seems to, she should take Frankie Edgar's nickname, and she should be the answer. Because she's kind of had an answer for everyone. Even Rose kind of had, she had her moments. And Jessica just made the adjustment. She's had an answer for everything. And the only thing that kind of bothers me a little bit about Jessica is she's doing something that a lot of fighters don't like to do. And she's, in a way, looking past your opponent and already forecasting, I'm getting the KO here, and then I'm gonna fight Valentina Shevchenko. Like,
I love it when fighters do that.
I love it too, but in this particular scenario, I wouldn't have done it because I think Zhang's, she's tough. You definitely have to give her all the attention in the world. I don't know how this fight's gonna play out. I mean, it's hard for me to go against Jessica at this point. I mean, you got to bring a lot, so I'm going with Jessica on this one. But I think it will be fun for a little bit, but then I think Jessica's just going to overwhelm her.
Yeah, I agree. I think Jessica's going to hold on to her title. And basically, Jessica, I just think is better everywhere. Now, I think Willy Zhang is pretty awesome everywhere. It's just that's what I think of Jessica Andrade.
Yeah.
She's really, really good wherever she goes. And she's got the experience of having fought in these big title fights. Not at bantamweight. She hasn't fought a title fight, but she's fought as a bantamweight, and then dropping all the way down to strawweight. She's experienced, you know, adversity, losing to Joanna Jędrzejczyk, but then coming back and actually just buzzsawing all of the other strawweights along the way to her second title shot. And then, of course, we remember the epic slam against Rose Namajunas, but I think she's a stud. And so her actually going back to flyweight wouldn't even be the toughest competition she's had. No disrespect to the flyweights. What I mean is usually, you know, the bigger, stronger, it makes a difference. And so the fact that she's competed as a bantamweight, I could see why that fight versus Valentina Shevchenko would be very, very interesting. Now, that said, I think I'd still side with Valentina Shevchenko. I still got to do a little bit of a breakdown in that, but it's not as ridiculous as people think.
Valentina, I don't think I can pick against her.
I agree.
Even the Amanda fight, like even if she were to fight Amanda a third time after losing to her twice, I think I'd still pick Valentina.
Yeah. And by the way, those odds go off at minus 180 for Jessica Andrade, plus 150 for Willy Zhang. In the co-main event, this has Eliseo Zaleski dos Santos, a Brazilian fighter who's on an incredible run at welterweight, fighting Li Jingliang. And Jingliang is a Chinese fighter. So, we have another Brazilian versus a Chinese fighter. Mm-hmm. The odds are dos Santos minus 280, Li Jingliang at plus 220.
I think Brazil's going to be happy this weekend.
Yeah, Dos Santos is a stud.
He's very, very underrated. And I think, unfortunately, I don't know that this is the fight that everybody's going to go, he's arrived, you know, because I don't know that very many people are going to wake up to see this card. But this kid is very underrated, and I think he could be a champion one day.
Yeah, the card has a lot of lesser-known talent or lesser-ranked talent, or both, actually. But that co-main and main are solid. So tune in, folks. 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific for that title fight with Jessica. Excuse me, for that main card that includes the title fight of Willy Zhang challenging Jessica Andrade. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up for today. Goes again, circling back to the big news with BJ Penn. I'm sure we'll hear more, and maybe we'll have different thoughts and opinions on Monday. But as of right now, I really hung my head yesterday when I saw that yet again Penn was just, you know, in the news, but for not the reasons that I want to see.
I don't want him to be forgotten as one of the great mixed martial artists of all time. I don't want him to be remembered for all the stuff that's been happening at the end.
I agree. Follow us on Twitter. It's the same on Instagram and Twitter. Goes is at the Goes. I'm at MMA Junkie George, and the radio show is at MMA Junkie Radio. We'd love to hear your feedback on this new format. You know, it's quicker, tighter. We come in, we do this twice a week, and hopefully that's suiting to your satisfaction, because it's allowing us to go out there and do the videos that you've seen. Hopefully they're starting to sprout up. The Off Guard series, check that out as well. We've been having doing those, and we are always looking for your feedback on those as well. All right, guys, let's get out of here. And folks, enjoy the fights this weekend. Keep it locked on MMA Junkie throughout the weekend. We got you covered. And we're out of here. Go out there and be a champion.